2 hour, three ideas in 30 minutes. Gets a lot harder in the winter months when 9:30 is already Erev Shabbos. I think in Boston, Shabbos starts in about 15 minutes. So it's a great zchus, a great pleasure to be able to learn with you here this morning. As always, I want to thank our sponsor for this morning. Donated anonymously in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia, Ben, Dov, Yehuda, Leib, Chaim. Our learning should be in Aliyah for his neshama. Also, just a quick housekeeping note. For those who join us regularly, I will not be doing three ideas next week. We will have our Tehillim class next Thursday. But Friday morning, Mirtz Hashem, we are making a bas mitzvah for our daughter next weekend. And I have been told that I will be busy on Friday morning. So I apologize. We will not be here next Friday. So I don't need to get the emails and the texts. I was on. No one was on. Why wasn't there a shiur? I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be a shiur next Friday. Mirtz Hashem, we will pick up in 2 weeks. However, Parshas Vayetze 5:7-8:2. And as I always say, I wonder whether to use the best idea first, second, or last. This time, I'm going all in on the first time. And I hope those of you stick around for the other two ideas, because they're also amazing. But this one's even more amazing. Here is the first idea. We say something very strange in Tfilas Geshem, which, again, some of us don't even pay attention to. We're singing along with the songs. But we say a very strange line. One of the reasons we ask Hashem to give us rain is Zechor Ta'an Maklo Va'avar Yardain Mayim. We say to Hashem that in the Zechus of Yaakov Avinu, who carried his stick across the Yardain, therefore you should give us water. Now, what, of course, are we talking about? We're talking about in next week's Parsha. Next week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu says, Katonti Mikola Chasadim, I've been humbled by all of your chesed. And he says, what was the chesed? Ki b'makli avarti esa yardin azeh, because when I first crossed over, all I had in my hand was this little stick. And now I have shteim nachanot, and now I have expanded my financial capabilities, and I am enormously wealthy. So in the zchus, zchur toein maklo v'avar yardin mayim, that in the zchus of the fact that Yaakov carried a stick across the Yarden River, that is what we come to the Ribono Shel Olam and ask him for rain. I'm going to guess, I'm going to take a shot in the dark, that none of us have ever thought about that kasha, including myself. None of us probably even paid attention to the significance of the words of that in Tfilas Geshem. So what is it that in the zechus of us remembering Yaakov Avinu, zechur ta'an maklo ve'avar yardin mayim, that in the zechus of Yaakov Avinu bringing his stick across the Yarden River, Hashem, give us rain? What is the great zchus? What is the great merit of that stick? So I want to share with you Rav Druk, not the Rav Druk that Rabbi Goldberg quotes, but Rav Druk's father. So he quotes in his Sefer, Drash Mordechai, that why do we mention this stick? What is the zchus of this stick? And he teaches an incredible Das Zekeinim Mibalei Atosos. He says that when you look at it, Yaakov Avinu says that when I crossed the Yarden River, all I had was this stick. Yet we know that's factually incorrect. Because Yaakov Avinu comes to the beginning of this week's Parsha, Vayitze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana, he is running away from his brother, Vayivka b'makom, and he falls asleep, he takes the rock, the Sula Mutzavarsha, right, we spoke about that twice last year. And then all of a sudden, Yaakov Avinu wakes up. Vayikatz Yaakov mishnaso, Yaakov awakes from his sleep, Vayomer, Achein yesh Adonai b'makom hazeva, nochi lo yadati. Beautiful divrei Torah on that pasuk. He says, surely Hashem is here. I didn't know about it. Achein and anochi are very similar in words. There's one letter that's added on. That's the yud of Yaakov Avinu. Right? Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. He knew that God was here. But v'anochi lo yadati. He didn't know himself. He didn't know that he was part of that plan. That the yud of Yaakov, was a part of that experience. Again, a beautiful, a lot of Chassidish Torah on that. But then in the very next pasuk, it says, Vayira, he gets afraid because he says, Manora makom hazeh, I never knew how beautiful this place was. I never knew how kadosh this place was. So what happens? Vayashkeim Yaakov baboker. Yaakov gets up early in the morning. Vayikaches even asher samir asosav. And he takes the stone that he had been using as his pillow the night before. Vayasem osa matseva, he makes it as a pillar, a monument. Vayitzok shemen al rosho, and he pours oil on top of this rock. asks Rav Druk, where in the world did Yaakov get this oil from? If Yaakov says in next week's Parsha, Kiva Makliya Varti Yaseyardin Azeh, I had nothing other than the stick. It's simply not true. We know from this week's Parsha, Vayitzok Shemen Al Rosha, that he's pouring oil on top of the stone. And the obvious question is that if it had been taken everything from him, and all Yaakov has was this stick, then where in the world did he get this oil from to be able to pour on the stone? It's a good kasha, right? Okay, it's not my kasha, so I can't take credit for it. Listen to what the Bali, Das Zakein and Bali Atosfo says. He says that you want to know where Yaakov got his oil from? He hid the oil in the stick. I don't know how he did it. Perhaps he hollowed out the stick, and he pours the oil in the stick. Why in the world would he pour the oil in the stick? That would be like me saying, the only thing I have is my jug of water. But obviously there's water in the water, right, in the jug. So Yaakov had his stick, but in his stick, apparently, he used to store oil in a stick. Why in the world would anyone in their right mind be pouring oil in a stick? What purpose would that serve? Listen to this comment of the Das Zakeini Bali Atosfos. Unbelievable. He says Yaakov Avinu wanted to have oil available to him. Because where was he for the last 14 years? He was in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever. He was learning. All of a sudden, Yaakov is running again. And what happens when you're running away? You got nothing to your name? All of a sudden, it gets dark. It gets dark. Wait a second. How am I supposed to continue my learning if it's dark? How am I supposed to open up a sefer if it gets dark? So therefore, Yaakov Avinu was so afraid that when it got dark, he would have to stop his learning so that wherever he went, he took a supply of oil with him so that he can continue to learn in all hours of the day, even when it got dark, even when it was nighttime. Now, where's Yaakov going to hide this oil? We know that everything gets taken from Yaakov except for the stick. He has Rachmanis on Yaakov Avinu. He says, you can keep your stick. So Yaakov keeps the oil in the stick. Kivimakli avarti esayardein hazeh. I only left with a stick, but you know what was hidden inside that stick? It was oil. Oil to be able to use to supply light and be afforded the opportunity to learn even into the night. That, says the Das Zakeini Bali Atosfos, is where Yaakov Avinu had the oil at the beginning of this week's Parsha in order to be able to pour upon the Mizbeach. Now, if that's the case, it's an unbelievable pshat. Unbelievable. That's the zchus that we reference in Tfilas Geshem. We say, Zechor ta'an makli v'avar yardein mayim. We say, Hashem, can you please remember this stick that Yaakov Avinu carried? What's the zechus of the stick that Yaakov Avinu carried? It wasn't the stick. It was the fact that Yaakov Avinu cared so much about his learning that he wanted desperately to be able to do it at all times, even when it got dark outside. Even after 6 p.m., Yaakov Avinu wanted to be able to learn, and so he came and he hid oil in a stick so that he could always have light available to him. And it's in the zchus of Yaakov Avinu going out of his way to always be able to learn that we come to Hashem in Tfilas Geshem. And we say, Hashem, can you remember that stick? Can you remember the Mesiras Nefesh of Yaakov Avinu, of what he did to be able to learn just a little bit longer and just to learn a few extra hours? Now, first of all, in and of itself, I think it's a beautiful pshat. It's a great understanding, answers a question. You can like that or you don't like it. The Musar of it, that was amazing. Because the Musar of it is a reminder of how lucky we are in our generation. We take for granted that 6 o'clock hits and we simply flip on a light switch. We go into our cars where we have lights and we're able to function pretty much normally. Yeah, it has a psychological impact when it gets dark a little bit earlier, but we're able to function virtually as normal as we can in the summer because of the gift of electricity, because of the gift of light. You look back a couple of hundred years ago, they did not have that opportunity. They did not have that privilege. Yaakov Avinu teaches us that even with great Mesiras Nefesh, I'm going to find a way to learn. I'm going to find a way to make time and make it available to myself for learning. Yaakov Inu had to hide oil in his stick. What do we have to do? For us, it's so easy. We turn on a light. We have multiple lights. We can get in a car. We have Bate Midrashos and Bate Knessios that have air conditioning and heating. We have every opportunity afforded to us. It's so easy for us. And yet, so many of us find it so difficult. And so perhaps we should take the lesson from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, yes, I only had the stick, but I never lost sight of the importance of learning Torah, even at night, even when it's hard, even when it requires Mesiras Nefesh. And that is the lesson for every single one of us. The nights are early now. Nighttime, Seis is, I think, 6:07 this week, right? We have a long night and a long winter ahead. And we can choose to spend those nights doing silly things, or we can choose to spend those nights engrossed in Torah, finding the ability to go to Shirim even if they're at night, or listen to Torah online even if it's at night. Is it inconvenient sometimes? Yes. But you know what else was inconvenient? What Yaakov Avinu did, where he hollowed out a stick and put oil in simply to be able to learn Torah at night. In the schus of Yaakov Avinu doing that, we dive into Hashem for Geshem. Why Geshem? This I'm adding on, but why Geshem? Geshem is Parnassa. Because if we have the right mindset when it comes to Torah, and we have the right mindset when it comes to Parnassa, in other words, the Parnassa is a means to an end, it's not an end to itself, that's when we ask the bracha from the Ribono Shel Olam. I think it's a beautiful idea. I loved it. I hope you love it as well. That was idea number one from Rav Druk, quoting the Das Kenim Mibali Atosos, Kive Makli Avarti Eseyardena Zeh. If he only went with a stick, how is it Vayitza Kshemen Al Rosha? Where did he get the oil from? He hid it in the stick. That was the Mesiras Nefesh Yaakov Avinu had for Talmud Torah, for learning. For us, it's so easy. We have Art Scroll. We have the internet. We have a shul with Shirim every night of the week. We have to get dressed and get out in our car a little bit. That's our minor inconvenience. Are we willing to put ourselves out even that little bit of amount? Okay, that is idea number one. Idea number two comes from Medrash. Actually, idea number two and three are going to be from Midrashim, but they are beautiful Midrashim, so it's very much worthwhile. Here we go. The Pasuk says, V'haya zaracha ke'afar aretz. When Yaakov Inu realizes that he goes to sleep and the angels are going up and down, Hashem gives him a nevuah. And he says, V'haya zaracha ke'afar aretz, that your descendants are going to be like the dust of the earth. Ufaratzta yama vaked matzafona vanegma, and they're going to scatter in every different direction. They're going to be so numerous. They're going to go east and south and west and north. V'nivrchu becha komish b'chos adama uvizarecha. Right, we know this is a song. And everyone's going to be blessed through you. Talking about songs, big weekend here. Boca Raton Synagogue. Tish tonight. The one and only, the great Joey Newcomb. Shachris tomorrow, Boca Raton Synagogue. The one and only Joey Newcomb. You don't want to miss it if you're around Montoya Circle this Shabbos. An opportunity that excites me very much. I'm very much looking forward to it. So, V'haya zaracha kafar aretz. Hashem says that your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. Why the dust of the earth? So we generally assume, if I were to take a poll now, if we were in person, and I would be able to pick on one of you, like I now do in my Tehillim class, I don't know if that will shrink our numbers or increase our numbers, but if I were to ask you, what's the analogy to Afar Aretz, to the dust of the earth, what would you say? I hear you through the computer screen, just like President Bush heard people when he was standing on top of the rubbles. I hear you. What are you saying to me? You're saying, Kafar Aretz, just as you can't count the dust, so too our descendants are going to be so numerous, you can't count them. That's definitely pshat in the pasuk. Listen to the Medrash, Shmos Rabba, Chaf Hei Ches. Says the Shmos Rabba, Sikusim, which means the measurement. Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov. V'amar lo v'haya zaracha ke'afar ha'aretz. They will be like the dust of the earth. Why the dust of the earth, says the Medrash? K'sheyagia banecha ad afar ha'aretz. When your descendants are beaten down to the dust of the earth. In other words, when they've been oppressed so much that they have been beaten down. Osa Shah, at that moment in time, Ufaratzta Yama Vakedma, at that moment in time is exactly when they will experience their renewal. It's exactly at the time that the Jewish people will be rejuvenated And then, ufaratzta yama v'kedma, just at the moment when you count the Jewish people out, is the moment that we come back stronger and even better than before. That, says the Medrash, is the pshat in the pasuk of Tehillim, Mikimi me'afardal me'ashpos yarim evyon. Mikimi me'afardal, we say to Hashem, you lift us up from the afar, from the dust of the earth. Because that is the greatness of Jewish history, is that at the moments when our destiny looked bleakest, is when Hashem plucked us out of that earth, when He lifted us up, and He helped us achieve even greater heights. Rav Druk Men, not Rav Druk, Rav Druk was one, Rav Druk Men, who was the head of Bnei Akiva in Eretz Yisrael, in his Sefer, quotes this Medrash, and he says, what greater proof do we have of this than the Holocaust? The Holocaust, the darkest moment in all of Jewish history. And now look at the last 75 years. We have a state of Israel. We have more kolalim and batei midrashos and more batei knesios around the world that you couldn't have even imagined in 1945, right? V'haya zaracha kafar aretz. Hashem gives us a promise that even when you are at the lowest point, ufaratzta yama v'kedma tzafona v'negba, you're going to grow out of that. You're going to blossom into a people that's going to spread across all four corners of the earth. That's how great you are going to become. My friends, we are living the fulfillment of that medrash. We, in the last 75 years of Jewish history, are living the fulfillment of that. Mikime me'afardal, we say, Hashem, lift us up from that dirt. I spoke about over Pesach here at Boker Raton Synagogue. Those of you who are not here, sorry. Those of you who were here, it will be a great repetition. But I quoted from Rav Kluger, of Avram Svi Kluger, an amazing word. He says, why is it? This by the way, if you didn't hear this in Shul, worth the price of admission this morning, which of course you paid nothing for, but it was worth the cost of admission, because here we go. Why is it that grape juice, wine, is so significant in Judaism? Every moment of Kedusha that we have is sanctified by wine and grape juice. Shabbos, Havdalah, weddings, right? All of it has to do with wine and grape juice. Why is that so significant? So Rav Kluger explains, because if you think about how wine is made, you take grapes, and I love grapes, they're tasty, my kids like it, right? We love eating grapes. If I gave you a thing of grapes and I said, is this a great quality thing? You would say, of course it is. Grapes, they're delicious. We happen to like the cotton candy grapes in our house, right? We love grapes. And then I were to take your grapes that you paid for, threw them onto the ground and started stomping on them. A la I Love Lucy, right? Just started trampling on the grapes. You'd be like, Rabbi Moskowitz, you're out of your mind. What are you doing? You took a perfectly good product and now you're trampling it. You're beating it down. But you and I both know that the grapes, you go into the supermarket, they're 10 bucks, 9 bucks, 8 bucks. I don't know. I don't buy grapes. And if I do, I don't look at the prices, right? But whatever it is, a thing of grapes. You'd say, why are you wasting the grapes? I'd be like, no, my friend, you don't understand that it's specifically by beating down this grape that I'm going to elevate it into something far more significant. I'm going to elevate it into a wine which I can sell double, triple, quadruple the price. That, says Rav Kluger, is exactly what the Jewish people represent. The Jewish people are compared to wine. We're grapes. And sometimes we're beaten down. And sometimes we feel like we're down and out. But it's from that moment that we're able to produce a fine wine. It's from the moments of Ayazaracha Kafar Aretz. It's when we are most beaten down that we emerge into that fine wine. Ufaratzta yama v'kedma tzafona v'negba. We're a wine that's far more valuable than the grapes. That, says Rav Kluger, is why wine and grape juice is used at all symbolic ritual in Judaism. Because it's a reminder to us that yes, sometimes we feel beaten down. And sometimes we feel oppressed by the exile. But always know that at the end of that process, the Jewish people will always be like that fine wine. That at the end of the process, the Jewish people will always be ufaratzta yama v'kedma tzafona v'negba. We're going to thrive even more and even greater heights than ever could be imagined. Mikimi me'afardal, Hashem, lift us off of that dirt. Me'ashpos yarim evyon, take us out of that garbage and raise us to even greater heights. That's the Medrash. Beautiful idea that I wanted to share with you this morning. The last idea comes from Medrash as well. Who would have thunk? Two Midrashim. Listen to this Medrash. It's almost too good to be true. When I read this Medrash this morning, I said to myself, like, it's basically Chazal handed you a drasha. Now, of course, that was, of course, the point. Medrash was an ancient form of a drasha, right? They just were much better at it than we were. But here we go. Milamid Shehera Kadosh Baruch Hu Liakovinu Sara Shel Bavel Olav Yored. We have the angels, and this, we're being in this week's parsha. They're going up and they're coming down. Who's going up and coming down? So the Medrash says that you have the angel of Bavel is going up and down. Vishel Madai Olav Yored, and the angel of Madai is going up and down, and of Yavan is going up and down, and of Edom is going up and down. In other words, the four nations of the world, their angels are going up and down. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov. Listen to this measure, it's unbelievable. Hashem says to Yaakov, Yaakov lama einata ole. Yaakovinu is passively watching as the angels of all of the nations are going up and down. Hashem says, Yaakov, why are you sitting there? Why aren't you climbing the ladder? Like, you could already tell this is going to be an amazing measure. Why aren't you climbing the ladder, Yaakov Avinu? So what happens? Ba'osa shah nisiyare Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov gets afraid. Viamar, kishem sheyesh leilu yirida, kachani yesh leyirida. Because Yaakov's not stupid. Hashem says, Yaakov, why don't you go up? Yaakov says, haha, you think you're going to trick me, Hashem? I know those angels aren't just going up, they're coming down. And I'm afraid that if I go up, I'm going to come down also. What's Yaakov afraid of? I'm telling you, this is like the most amazing medrash. He's afraid of failing. He's afraid of failing. He doesn't want to get in the ring because he's afraid of swinging and missing. He's afraid of failing. So Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, I understand, Yaakov. Imata ole ein lecha yirida. Hashem says, I promise you that you're different from those other nations. That if you go up, there's no coming down. But what do you have to do? You have to get off the bench. You have to at least get into the game. You have to at least put in that effort. You got to climb one rung after another. But I got your back, Yaakov. I'm sitting there. You know, like when someone's climbing a ladder and it's a little rickety. So you put someone on the bottom who's kind of like standing there like this. Not that if a 200-pound person came crashing down on me, that would actually help. But it makes me feel better, right? So I'm sitting there underneath. That's what Hashem says. Hashem says, I got you, Yaakov. You just got to get on the ladder. If you climb up, everything else is going to take care of itself. What happens? Tragically, Velo Hamin, Yaakov does not believe Hashem. Velo Allah, he does not go up. He doesn't go up. He's too scared of falling down. He's too scared of failure. And so Yaakov Avinu doesn't even bother trying. Hashem says, I'm promising you it's going to be successful. I got you. Yaakov Avinu won't even get off the bench. He won't even pick up the bat and get in the game because he's afraid of swinging and missing. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to Yaakov, Ilu Alisa Vemanta. Hashem says, Yaakov, if you had just believed me, and if you had just climbed the ladder, Lo Hayisa Lecha Yirida La'olam, you never would have fallen. You would have gotten straight up. That would have been the ultimate geula. Ela Hoil Velo Hamanta. But because Hashem says, you didn't believe in me, Hare Banecha Mishtabrim Behalalu Dalad Malchios Ba'olam. You are going to be enslaved to these four nations of the earth. Like, unbelievable. I hope that Medrash didn't disappoint. It's unbelievable. Hashem says to Yaakov, just climb the ladder. Yaakov says, I'm afraid to climb the ladder because I see that the angels aren't just going up, but they're coming down also. I don't want to fall. I don't want to make a mistake. Hashem says, Yaakov, just go up. I got you. I'm going to catch you. Just start climb the ladder, get in the ring. And Yaakov's too afraid to even try. And Hashem says, because you were too afraid to even fail, because you were too afraid to even try, even though I said I got you, so your people are going to be in exile. And your people are going to be enslaved to these nations of the world. So often the redemption is waiting right in front of our face. So often the answer to our problems is waiting there right in front of our face. What do we have to do? We just have to put one foot in front of the other. We have to start climbing the ladder and trust in Hashem that He's standing behind us to catch us and prevent us from falling. And what happens when we don't? Well, how are you going to achieve success? How are you going to reach your dreams and your goals and your ambitions if you're not even willing to try? And so Hashem says, because you weren't even willing to try, you're going to stay a failure. But if you're willing to put one foot in front of the other, if you're willing to climb one rung at a time, and you're willing to believe that I'm standing behind you, Ribono Shalom says, and I'm going to catch you if you fall. That is our path to redemption on a national level, and that is our path of redemption on an individual level as well. On a national level, it means that when Hashem gives us sovereignty over the land of Israel, and he says, all you got to do is come. All you do is get on a flight and come. And we're afraid, we're failing. You know, what happens if I don't this, that? Hashem says, just come. It's my land. I'll take care of you. But we're afraid. And so instead we stay back. And we don't even get on the flight. Because we're afraid what's going to happen. Hashem says, because you don't believe in me, because you don't trust me, right, you'll be enslaved to the nations of the world. On a personal level, it means that when we're afraid to take that first step, we're afraid of failure, we're afraid to get in the ring, we're afraid to take the bat and get on the field because we're afraid of swinging and missing. Hashem just says, you got to just start. You can never achieve your goals if you're not even willing to get on the ladder and start climbing. What an important message about failure, about the fear of failure, about the requirement that Hashem gives us to at least put in our effort and to believe in him that he's going to take care of us the rest of the way. Hashem says, if you're not even willing to get on the ladder, then I can't help you. But if you're willing to get on the ladder and you're willing to believe in me, then the sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. Three amazing ideas. Maybe that may have been the best idea. I wasn't anticipating that one, but as I'm saying it, I really like that one. Everyone should forget that one. That's going to be a drusha next year. All right, anyways, three ideas, 30 minutes, here we go. Idea number one was from Rav Druk. Kivim akli avarti asei yardein hazeh. Yaakov Inu says, I carried the stick. He didn't just carry the stick. Vayitzak shemen arosha, he clearly had oil. Das akenim bali atosos, Yaakov hollowed out his stick and he put the oil into it. Said he'd have an opportunity to learn even at night. It's so easy for us. The level of Mesiras Nefesh that's asked of us is so paltry compared to what Yaakov Avinu had to go through. How are we going to spend these winter months? Are we going to binge on Netflix? Are we going to make time for learning? Are we going to binge on Netflix? Are we going to inconvenience ourselves to go to a shir, to put on the clothes, to go to a shir, right? That's the Mesiras Nefesh that's required of us. And if we do that, then we're zochet to the blessings of Tfilas Hageshem, Zechor Ta'an Maklova, Avar Yardein Mayim. Just like Yaakov Avinu, we say, Hashem, you should bless us with the Gesund and Parnassa as well. Idea number two was from the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Ve'ayaz aracha kafar aretz. We usually think it means that when there's the dust, we're numerous as the dust. Says the Medrash, no, it means that when you're beaten down to the dust, and when things look so bleak, then, ufaratzta yam av akedma, that's when Hashem lifts us up. And Hashem always revives the Jewish people. A beautiful idea, a beautiful message. Last idea was this really wild Medrash. Those of you who want to look it up, if you don't believe me, it's from the Medrash Tanchuma Vayetze Beis. I'm not making this Medrash up. It's that good. But it's the Medrash of a conversation between Yaakov Avinu and the Ribono Shel Olam, where Hashem says, just get on the ladder. Yaakov says, I'm afraid to get on the ladder, because what happens if I fall? Hashem says, get on the ladder, I got you. And Yaakov Avinu is not even willing. He's too afraid to even go. Sarah Newcomb, you're 100% right. You fall back down, you get back up. Right, Rav Tzadok HaKohen, great Joey Newcomb song. Hashem says, I got you, I'm going to catch you. But you got to be willing to at least put one foot in front of the other. You got to be willing to climb the ladder. And if you do, and if you put your faith in Hashem, then the sky's the limit. Everyone have a beautiful, magnificent, inspirational Shabbos. And again, we're off for next week, but I look forward to learning together on Friday morning in 2 weeks, if we're not in Eretz Yisrael. Before then, everyone have a great Shabbos.